From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Old News, New News, Good News. In verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul gives one of the best descriptions of the way of salvation to be found in the New Testament, writing, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." As Dr. Cairns explains, Paul is talking about a particular kind of faith in this passage. This is not a simple assent to historical facts, but a wholehearted reliance upon Christ for salvation. True saving faith accepts the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes to God on his terms with no reservations. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 92 and verse 4. Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Do you believe that your sins are forgiven and that Christ has made a full atonement for them? Then what a joyful Christian you ought to be! How you should live above the common trials and troubles of the world! Since sin is forgiven, can it matter what happens to you now? Luther said, "Smite, Lord, smite, for my sin is forgiven. If thou hast but forgiven me, smite as hard as thou wilt." And in a similar spirit you may say, "Send sickness, poverty, losses, crosses, persecution, what thou wilt, thou hast forgiven me, and my soul is glad." Christian, if thou art thus saved, whilst thou art glad, be grateful and loving. Cling to that cross which took thy sin away. Serve thou him who served thee. I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let not your zeal evaporate in some little song. Show your love in expressive tokens. Love the brethren of him who loved you. If there be a Mephibosheth anywhere who is lame or halt, help him for Jonathan's sake. If there be a poor tried believer, weep with him and bear his cross for the sake of him who wept for thee and carried thy sins. Since thou art thus forgiven freely for Christ's sake, go and tell to others the joyful news of pardoning mercy. Be not contented with this unspeakable blessing for thyself alone, but publish abroad the story of the cross. Holy gladness and holy boldness will make you a good preacher, and all the world will be a pulpit for you to preach in. Cheerful holiness is the most forcible of sermons, but the Lord must give it to you. Seek it this morning before you go into the world. When it is the Lord's work in which we rejoice, we need not be afraid of being too glad. As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
passage to me very clearly establishes that God demands a particular kind of faith, and He places everybody who hears the gospel under obligation to exercise that faith personally. Now, there are people who immediately object, but I want you to see what I am basing this on. Here is the word of faith that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I say there are some who object to the statement, both parts of my statement. Some object, God is not here demanding a particular kind of faith. And at first blush, there seems to be some reason to their argument. They say, here the contrast is between faith and works. That is, between faith and no faith. It is not a contrast between one kind of faith and another. And as I say, at first blush, that seems to make sense. Until you stop and realize that Paul was addressing the Jews. Now listen. The Jews would have said to Paul, but we do have faith. You say we keep the law, but we still have faith. We believe in the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. We do have faith. But you see, Paul is saying that saving faith is a very particular kind of faith. It is not a general assent. It is not what is called by theologians a mere historical faith. It is not an acceptance merely of the facts of divine revelation. It is a very particular kind of faith. It is faith in Jesus Christ. And you will see in verse 9 immediately something of the content of saving faith. If I could sum verse 9 up, it would be saying this, that this faith is a conviction of the truth of the gospel. It is a true faith that entirely accepts the truth of the gospel concerning the person of Christ and the work of Christ. Now let me make this clear to you. Those two things are inseparable in God's holy word. The person and the work. You cannot have faith in the work while you are fundamentally wrong about the person. And you cannot have faith in the person if you are fundamentally wrong about his work. Here in Romans 10, verse 9, we have this emphasis on the totality of the message of the gospel, which is the person of Christ and the work. And these are two truths that are so interlocked. You destroy any part of the biblical revelation of the person of Christ, that he is God and man in two distinct natures, yet one undivided person forever. You destroy any part of that doctrine of the person of Christ, and you have automatically destroyed the biblical teaching of the work of Christ. A Christ who is not God incarnate is useless as a redeemer, useless to perform such a fulfillment of the law as to provide us with a perfect righteousness, useless as the bridge between the throne of God and the heart of a poor sinner. Only if he is God of very God can he place his hand upon the throne and his hand upon the head of the sinner and bring them back together. On the other hand, a Christ who is not truly man cannot save us. That's why the Bible teaches the incarnation, the coming of the Son of God in true, not merely something like true, but true human flesh. That's why he brought into union with himself a true human body and a true human soul. Because while we need a Redeemer who is truly God, we need a Redeemer just as much who is truly man. Because by man came death. By man must come the resurrection from the dead. It was a man who led us out of paradise. It must be a man who leads us back in to the Eden above. So here there is a conjoining of these two great aspects, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And true faith is convinced of the truth of Scripture on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And in being so convinced, it repudiates all hope in personal works righteousness. It gives up all dependence on anything that man may do for himself, and true faith therefore abandons itself to this one who is God manifested in the flesh, who lived and died and rose again for the salvation of sinners. Now that generally is the content of saving faith. It therefore is a faith that has the classic elements that Reformed theology has attributed to it of assent and trust. Assent, and if I could alliterate, abandonment. Abandoning oneself to Christ. John Bunyan, when he was describing this, talked about coming to the throne and feeling I can't get through. I'm not getting through. I'm going to perish here. Despite praying for salvation, I'm going to perish. That was the awful thought. And of course the temptation is to give up. And then Bunyan said, well, if I don't stay here, I'm certainly going to perish. If I leave off from the throne of God crying for His mercy, I'm certainly going to perish. So if I'm going to perish, then let me perish at the throne. But of course you can't perish there. You cannot perish there. Approach my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before His feet, for none can perish there. Here's the content of saving faith. But verse 9 emphasizes the confession of saving faith. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Lord. Let me paraphrase that. If you personally will confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. Here's the confession of faith. You see, it does assent. It abandons the soul to Christ. And in so doing, it makes Him Lord of the heart and Lord of all. I have to say, when I read this verse, I wonder where the whole controversy about Lordship salvation arose. Well, maybe I shouldn't say I wonder, because once I posed the question, I could give you two or three answers that would answer it with varying degrees of saltiness. And being a very sweet person, I'll not do that. Here's the theory of some. You can come to Christ and just make a verbal confession, He is the Lord. You can come to Christ and just ask Him, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then you live whatever way you live. And He's not Lord of your life. And you had no intention of making Him Lord of your life. He's your Savior. Down the line, He may become your Lord. That's the theory. Just 2 weeks ago after the service here, I think it was Brother Dr. Overley introduced me to some folk visiting missionaries. And they're fighting this battle on the mission field. Because there are so many American missionaries going among these souls dead in sin and just clocking up decisions, even though there's nothing in the life to show Christ as Lord. They gave me an outstanding example. This is the most egregious misuse of Scripture on this subject that I have heard. But they gave me an outstanding example. And they said that they have one missionary. I will not go into any detail as to his religious pedigree here in the States. But he's a fundamentalist Bible believer. And I have no doubt sincere in what he's doing. But sincerely wrong. And he has clocked up in the last year or so, I think it was something like 2,000 or 3,000 converts. Huge number of converts. Now the Mormons came to him and they were laughing. They say, you claim all these people as converts, but they're in our church. They're Mormons. To which he replied, when it comes to the judgment day, you'll not be laughing, because these people have prayed the sinner's prayer and they are saved and they will be saved, and you'll lose them at the end. Now, where on earth can you find that? If thou shalt confess Jesus as your Lord. That's the statement here. And I put it to you that by any understanding of the language, if He is not your Lord, He is not your Savior. That's absolutely plain. The confession of the Lordship.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.